Now this is Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over and a continuation of the visit with Laura and Leola on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, on the Labor Day weekend. This is Channel 2 over, Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Laura and Leola on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, on the Labor Day weekend.
Wonderful people, but my father, she died at 56, and my father, when I went, as soon as I got the truth and went and talked to him, why that's so and so. I began to talk Bible to him. Why, that's at such and such. And he'd turn and read it. And I'd say, well, that's at such and such. And he'd turn and read it, and he got the truth just like that. You didn't have to. He already had it, so to speak. But he never met the witnesses, but he had this.
He grew up with it.
Yeah. And I think that's why I got it so easy and so quick. One thing I'd never heard, now people, you hear people say terrible things against the witnesses. That isn't the word of the truth, maybe. And not that all the witnesses are perfect, they aren't. We're all imperfect. Humans are imperfect. But I'll tell you, when my father got it so easy and so quick, and he knows when he died, he knew he's coming back. He knew he was the other sheep, and he knew he was coming back.
Why do they criticize the witnesses for?
I think it's what the witnesses teach. What's the word I want to use? It shows up false religion, and you see, they don't like that. See, that's the only reason I can understand. Can you understand it any other way?
No. I don't know. Do you think people are more critical of witnesses than they are of other religions?
Yeah, I think so. However, now that don't bother me. What people think of me don't bother me. But if I felt like I'm doing something that Jehovah God disapproved, that would bother me. That would bother me greatly.
I don't know why anybody wants to try all that. I tell you, the arguments, they have such curious arguments. Now, don't you know this newspaper out there created all that trouble for the detectives? By making them known. They are the ones who were investigating the narcotics and making it hard on people who took it. They say this is marijuana is comparatively harmless. And if alcohol is a great American drink, mm-hmm. a narcotic, mm-hmm. and if they take that, nobody investigates them. Mm-hmm. They take it out on these others. Now you see, things like that would appeal, would attract young people.
Well, I think that the way they've socialized drink, in all the televisions that come in the program, and they'll serve a drink. You know,
yeah.
I think that's done an awful lot of harm.
No end of harm.
Yeah. And I don't know why anybody would want to fool around with marijuana or anything like that. This nipping glue, I can't. That sounds to me the most foolish thing.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to sniff glue?
Yeah.
It kills them sometimes, but what is there about it makes them want to do it? Can you explain that to me?
And then on the evening news, once or twice they stop and somebody smokes a cigarette and puffs it and just blows it out at you.
And who wants to see that?
Well,
I'll tell you, Guy, it'll be so wonderful when the kingdom is here and all this nonsense is done away with. You've got something to look forward to, you know it?
Now, when you the witnesses are out, when you know, on the road, calling mm-hmm. and teaching,
mm-hmm.
do they touch on all these things, the conditions as they are?
Sometimes, yeah.
But that's not the main.
The main thing is introduce now, for instance, the awake. For instance, any person would take that meeting daily challenges, that when she read, that's what interests me as the monetary system going out. And I know it's going out, I don't know how soon. But now this, the economic crash is coming. And I dread that in a way. Not that Jehovah can't take care of his people, but a lot of people are going suffering. I'm going to tell you something. God don't enjoy the wicked suffering. No Christian wants the wicked to suffer, you know. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to, this house is old. I want to, and I've got an acre of land here. I want to sell it and get a better house. Because I could get enough money out of this to buy a good house. This house made about 1925. It's not stucco. It's pebble dash on hollow tile. See, a stucco house would never have stood as long as this one has. See, and it was well built, but it's getting old, and so am I. This house may last as long as I do. I don't dread to die.
Well, now this house seems just in its prime to me when I come in here. It's so sturdy and the floors are solid.
Yeah, it's in good shape considering, you know. The floors are in good shape considering the oldness of this house. The whole house is in good shape. But you see up there, now that worries me. See that leak?
Oh, yeah.
I've got to have something done about that.
Well, that's hard to handle.
It is hard to handle. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Oh, me. That, I guess people don't think much about dying. Maybe they should. I know the idea, you know, as you get older, the idea loses the fear it had as a child.
I suppose. I don't know. Well, I think if I didn't know, if I believed in false religion, if I believed in a burning hell, and I believed that God tortured the wicked or all those except just the favored few, if I believed what false religion teaches, I'd hate to die. But I know none of that's true. I can't see how intelligent people can believe that, do you? When I was young, I told you I started reading the Bible when I was young. And I didn't read anything in there that made me believe in that burning hell and when preachers would preach it. I didn't know what to think. And I was so happy when I found the Watchtower literature that taught what the Bible teach. And I knew that was truth and that did something for me. And I think that it's given me fortitude, stability, faith, and courage to go on when I wouldn't have had it. Not so strong anyway.
Well, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Now, there's one thing that's hard for me to face. Now, you'll think this strange because I think it's strange. As much faith as I have in God and as much faith as I have in His purposes, you know, I can't hardly. I'm not a bit afraid to die. I feel like that if I knew I'd die tomorrow, it's okay. But you know, I don't like to see people dead. I just don't like to see a corpse. I never go to a funeral. Now, why is that, God?
I wouldn't undertake to explain it. I don't know.
I'll tell you why I think it was. I remember when I was just a little girl, I was the oldest girl. My mother had so many children, she was tied down with the children all the time. And when my father had to go someplace, he'd take me with him a lot of times. This was occasion where at the funeral somebody died in the neighborhood. And I remember he said, now he combed my hair and got me ready. He said, I want you to go with me. So and so died over here, and they're going to have the funeral, and I want you to go with me. He took me by the hand, and he took me, and we went in and listened to the funeral. I was too young to know hardly what was being said or anything, and then my father took me by the hand and took me up to the casket to look at that corpse. And I froze.
Oh, yeah.
I just froze.
Children.
Yeah. I think that it was just too much for a child. And do you know, I didn't look at my husband after he was a corpse. And I never think of him as a corpse. I think of him as being around doing things. I don't think of him as a dead person.
You know, I think that's one of the worst things in the world that can happen, is when you think of people whom you've known all their lives and in their prime, but you think about them in their decline.
I don't like to that. Do you?
No.
I don't
either. I think it's irreverent.
Well, you know what?
I think it's blasphemous.
I think it's criminal, almost, to take a young child to see a dead person. Why can't they remember them as they were? I don't want my grandchildren, great-grandchildren to think of me. I don't want them to see me as a corpse. I want them to think of me.
I think it's very difficult for the young to see the older people, adults,
mm-hmm.
to actually see them. As they get older, you see, they will. But that's a tricky thing. I think Miss Anna Wood, out in the community there where I am now,
mm-hmm.
she lived a long time, and all her life, I don't know, there was a certain manner that she had. That would do people good if they saw it, if they could recall it,
mm-hmm.
if there was some way to convey to them
mm-hmm.
what she was.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Now they think of her, you see, as an old lady who swiveled up and
mm-hmm.
sat on a pillow
mm-hmm.
or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Now that's
not good.
That's disastrous.
Yeah.
That's harmful to the community.
Yeah, yeah.
That is one of the great spirits of that whole community.
Mm-hmm.
They see as in that light.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, in a way, funerals don't help.
No, I know they don't. I don't like funerals. I just don't like funerals. Now, I have absolute confidence in the resurrection. There's no doubt in my mind about these people being resurrected. I know they'll be resurrected. Of course, the heavenly class are spirit creatures, and they dwell in heaven. But there's no doubt in my mind about God's purposes and what the Bible says. I know it's true. I know we don't have perfect understanding always, but at the same time, I know that Bible is true.
Well, you have some great texts, and some of them we use at funerals, but they still, in a way, belittle what the person himself has done
yeah.
and been.
Yeah, I think they do too. I agree with you.
And even those great texts,
mm-hmm.
those magnificent texts, and I've always wanted to talk to some preachers about it, see what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the preachers are so much, they're subject to what people think so much. They hardly have any chance to say anything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So many of them that I see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you talk to them privately, they might say something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they seem to go along with
mm-hmm. There's one young man that come here and I studied. Brother's a preacher, and one other brother is almost a preacher, and they've been associated with preachers, but he knows the truth, and he knows it's a truth, and he's been trying to show them where they're wrong, but it's pretty hard for them to give up their standing, and that's what it means so much to them.
Yeah. Now, Ms. Patterson said last time, she said that they were talking about their, some of their study sessions, like early days with Claire and, you know, the others out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she knew they were a lot of good Christians now, but she still had to admit that she felt more at home with them as they felt with Claire. She just felt more at home with them. Well, the thing of it is, the younger people can't see them in that light.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could.
Yeah.
I wish there
yeah.
was some way mm-hmm. of putting it forward.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you what I've done. I've made some tapes of Ms. Patterson and them over there
mm-hmm.
that I think if young people could listen to,
mm-hmm.
it would put them in a different light.
Yeah.
They see them, they could see them then in a light where they, that mm-hmm. they never
mm-hmm.
see them actually and they were talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of the tape. She wanted to play me about 10 minutes of her tape, but it was at the end of 1,800 feet of tape to off long to roll it back. And I had been out to the car and seen that I had a flat tire. So that was the end of the visit. And I spent half an hour making the jack work and changing tires. That's the end of the visit with Laura and Leola. Leola left early. Laura was there, and we talked and talked and talked. That's the longest visit we'd had. I guess it's too long. And this is Channel 2 Over around 180. Channel 2 Over around 180, and the visit with Laura on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, on the Labor Day weekend. Now, this little tape is the one we made on Tuesday, the 26th of August, after the study session at Ms. Patterson's. I have no idea. It was right rattlebrain. The only thing is, the ladies were not afraid of the tape. After the lesson, they just talked and talked and talked and rattled and rattled and rattled. And I tried to get them to talk one at a time, and they wouldn't do it. Now, that was on Tuesday, the 26th of August, 69.
I'll be with you all next Tuesday, and then I won't leave you for a while.
What's the trouble?
How long are you
going to stay? We don't know, Mother. We're going to Virginia.
I know you are.
We got some of that.
He's not in service right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is he
going
to...
Ellis Jr.'s
not.
Where
you want your
head?
But
Ellis
Singer.
Oh, yes. They're trying to make a sergeant major out of him now, and he won't take it.
What's the matter? Why?
He said he's cut his wages out now and give him more responsibility.
Yeah.
He said they thought he was down boom.
Oh, where's Ellis Jr.?
He's got another year of school. Her baby guy's gone. He quit college and joined the Navy. Great things, Eleanor.
Quit college and joined the Navy.
Yes. Government, his daddy died from the effects of the Second World War.
Yes.
So the government raised him and was taking care of him. And they told him they'd pay for his 4 years in college. And when he got out of high school, he went right on to junior college in Gainesville. And stayed 6 months. And he said he was so tired of school he couldn't stand it no longer. And he quit and joined the Navy.
I don't see how children go to school as steady as they do.
Well, it is a trial.
Especially when they get older.
Yes, sir.
If they get out and work for a year, it'd help them.
He was 19. Well, that's what we think about it now. He's 19 now. We think about it. I don't know how long joined the Navy for, the duration. But we think maybe when he gets out, gets his term done in the Navy, he want to go back to college.
That's right.
He had 6.5 years. Yeah.
That's what
first
we
time
hold.
3.5 years, and he stayed out
for 2 or 3 years. 2 years.
And then he went back in for another
2 years. But then now his son's going to Thailand.
He has. He got married.
How do you study your lessons?
How do I study? And strolling the word at my house to bother me, I sit right down, I concentrate right on it, I go to the Bible and get my answers when I can't think of myself. I don't have nothing to bother me, so I don't have a bit of trouble getting my lesson.
Well, now, when will you start on your, on this next lesson?
Well, maybe late this evening or tomorrow.
That's pretty early.
Well, pretty. I always do my. This every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Our morning text. Every morning when I have get time to.
The one on
each
side.
I'll tell you, I cook funny, Mr. Guy, from other people.
See, this
is
finished, and I just
want to
be sure my battery, he's
done
battery, sometimes run out. Now, shoot.
My husband likes cold vegetables, so I cook different from lots of women.
Yeah.
When I get through with my breakfast and the breakfast dishes washed, I put my dinner right on what he's going to have for dinner. If he's home for dinner, what he's going to have for supper, if he's home for supper.
Mm-hmm.
And I cook that. And then get everything except maybe a little extra bread or boil the air to a corn. If he's got air to a corn, he don't want no cornbread with his vegetables. He likes his corn boiled on the cob. And so I get that done. Then I'm good and tired by that time, and I usually sit down and get this. And then clean up the rest of the house and study along through the day and get tired. I listen to TV some.
I don't know.
But I've got certain pictures I see and certain ones I don't.
I like that one in the middle of the day. Yes,
yeah, so I might get that in the middle of the day.
That same one she talking about?
Yes.
What is that?
As a world turn. Well,
that's
I can't.
The only one I look at. Well, I wouldn't look at it if I could stop it.
Marguerite, that one at
half
past 12 is good. It's real good.
I don't
now.
I wouldn't take on another. They're going to start doing it.
Yes. And that.
Well, what's the
130?
What do you like about it?
I can't quit.
Sorry. I can't remember too well, but lots of times
I
gave
them to me on the hood.
feel like I know the answers, but I won't say nothing because I want somebody else to answer some of them.
Well, now, as I understand it, this study book, it gives you something to go by to get into the Bible.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So,
you go to the Bible and get what's in your book we're teaching. She's teaching us
from. It's an aid to help to understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And it, yes.
Because
and
a scripture is, a statement is made, and there's a scripture. And, well, we want more than one scripture. That way you see in most every paragraph two or three scriptures.
Yeah.
And as you go to the various places, why, then you get those different scriptures, different writers at different periods of time wrote on the same subject.
Now, just like me, I've been studying and been a Jehovah's Witness for close to 20 years now, Leo, because Guy Lewis has been dead 17 years last March. And you know, we studied about 2 years before he died. And he was working so hard, learning everything that he could. He knew he never would be able to be baptized.
Now, who was that?
And my son.
Yes.
His name was Guy.
Oh, yes.
And they sent him back from the Second World War to die with heart trouble. And he lived 5 years with all around CAM, attention, the hospitals, and everything.
And you read with him?
Yes, sir, we all studied with him. We started studying pretty quick after he come home. We started studying, that's where I met Leora, a little woman, old lady by the name of Cora Myers. She was good. She's the one we started studying with. Mabel, well, I tell you, got us into it. Mabel's responsible for all of us.
She and Cora, too.
Cora, the one family. Yeah, but Mabel got my son Guy interested in it, and then Guy comes to me and talks to me, tells me what Mabel says. And he said, Mama, let's let them people come here and let's just start studying the Bible. He said, I want to know something about it. And he knew he was had to die. And he wanted to know something about it. I said, all right, son. So we let Mabel know, and first thing we know, we had a house full. And we had a house full every week. We'd have 10 or 12. And then I got to cooking big dinners.
Mabel did too.
And I'd have I cook everything I could the day before, you know. I'd get up early in the morning to study, and I'd have everything fixed, red table fixed. I'd know about how many was coming. I'd have the table set and everything ready to have the Bible study. Then we got to the Bible study, we had the biggest and the biggest time you ever seen.
Now this is something that Mabel, you and Leola never told me. I never heard about it.
Well, Mabel and Leola was there a lot. Mabel was there all the time.
How long did that go on?
I really don't know. They finally just quit. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, it can't last forever.
No, sir, nothing lasts forever. Yes,
we.
When I first came down, how'd you get in on this, Margie?
Dr. Jones came, lived, used to travel around in cars, you know, and there were four people with him, and Cora Myers, she got out and she come to my back door, and she wanted us to have had her little piece to say, and she sold me a subscription to the Watchtower, and then later, Nell and her niece, what's her name, Ann Parrish, came and wanted to know if they would, if they could come and start a study with me. So I told them yes.
That's
what
I'm talking about.
And you're the one, you're the instigator of that.
Well, I'm
blamed
for you being in
that. Every day that I know about the truth.
Working. It's all my life I've got.
What?
It's my whole life. My children are gone. Me and my husband's been married 50 years. We're still together. We never had no serious trouble. But he knows this is the truth and he likes it, but he won't listen in on it and he won't have much to do with it. Well, I can't help it. I can't get him to do no other way.
Well,
you know him.
Oh, yes. He can talk about it almost anything.
Yeah, he can, that's true.
I never had to talk about it.
I'll tell you, God, my husband has got an education. His daddy never sent them to school at all. They've got no education. They learn to write their names on themselves, that's about all they know. And get out, spell out a few words, you know. And he works hard, raises the family, and...
No, wait a minute.
Well, that's
one reason he knows
so much, because
he's
listened in at us.
Fired my dad.
Then he asked me questions, and I took my answer. But there was one that Leo learned me today. Now, that's what I started saying while he moved out, as long as I've been in truth, that I didn't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. I was asked that very question, was why God wouldn't receive
Cain's
sacrifice like he received Abel's. And because Cain's sacrifice was according to God. Mm-hmm. It was...
Abel's.
And Cain's was according to the devil. But I couldn't get that separated. I didn't know how. But we went right to it in the Bible this morning and found it. And if I'd done that the other day, we was... No, that wasn't in our lesson. It just come up between me and Mabel.
Well, it was in our lesson today.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
But I never had been able to answer that question before. And it's going on like that all the time.
Always picking up things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always learning.
We never
every day. We never learn at all.
We used to argue with him up there at the university. Somebody bring up some subject that he knew something about. He'd get up there and he'd stand up for the truth every time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know too much about it, but he could.
Now, who is that?
My husband.
What's his name?
Bernard Smith.
Bernard Smith.
I expect you know him. He used to work down in the cafeteria. He's supervisor of all the refrigeration and air conditioning.
And
12 and a half years he worked there.
Yeah, when they're talking and
he'd hear them, you know, they'd get to arguing among themselves, and he'd butt in with his two bits for us and tell them all about the truth.
Is that right?
That's what he used to do.
That's what it ought to be.
But he picked it up at home there. He'd pick up my literature and read it, and he'd listen to me talk, and he knew all the others, you know, Bob Harvey and all that bunch. So he finally, he come in all by himself. I never tried to persuade him or anything. He did it all by himself. He was dedicated down there at Leesburg at the time when they had the assembly down there.
But he doesn't come to your meetings.
Oh, yes. He doesn't now.
Study session.
You mean over here.
But he's Abate is studying with him now. He comes up to the house there and studies with him.
Who?
Abate. Haven't you met Abate?
Emma.
He's new here from Miami. But he comes up the house there.
He lives in the trailer there.
Mm-hmm, that big new trailer back there.
Well, now this is something that you can do together, and it's improving, isn't it?
Sure.
That's the only thing that is improving.
That's the only way we can improve is to meet together and discuss these things and learn from somebody that like Leo that knows more than we do.
Well, I don't know. A lot of things are improving, but they don't turn out that way. When they get together and talk about them, they just don't turn out to be improving, Mabel.
But
being together, the association we have, the love we have for each other.
No, it's to take the assembling of yourself together. Some have the manner, but meet the oftener and admonish one another as you see the day approaching. That's the 10th chapter of Hebrews.
Well, just show you the difference in us and other people. Sunday I was talking to one that has taught Sunday school, been all of a life going to church. And I had her to read a verse in the Bible. And she said, well, I don't know what it means. Now, when they read anything, I said, well, who wrote Revelation? I don't know. Well, when I read it to her and showed her who wrote Revelation, and then read the verses that I wanted her to see, she says, I don't understand it. She says, I don't know what it means, and just as plain as it can be.
Well, not to her, because she doesn't have God's
Spirit. Well, that's what I say. She don't have God's Spirit. That shows the difference. You show those scriptures to a witness, and which is they read it, they knew what they'd read, and who wrote it.
I believe your study book goes
right straight back to the Bible more than the ones others there, I see.
Yeah, no way.
They do. We take the God's Word, the Bible, as the base foundation. That's Jesus said in John 4:24, sanctify them to the truth. Your word is truth. And so we go by God's Word of truth. Now, if something man is saying or doing goes contrary to that, we don't say, well, the Bible's wrong and he's right. The Bible is outdated now. The Bible is still hundreds of years ahead of man.
Now, what is that little scripture you, from Hebrew that night? About assembly. Oh, you said it.
Yeah, but I might not be able to say
that
that's exactly what
means life. This means life everlasting. You're taking in knowledge.
Accurate knowledge. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider one another to incite to love and fine works, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as some have the custom, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you behold the day drawing near.
That's nice. That's what you have.
Well,
assembling together. That's
coming together.
God is always his people assembled.
Mabel, back, you know, country people assembled very much. They stayed at home.
No, but they assembled on Sunday.
They did on Sunday.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, bend these churches, a big gathering, when
they
put a quilt down in front of the pulpit and all the babies are put on that quilt. You've seen that, haven't you? I have seen the front of up there, the front benches.
And they all
the babies
had
to have half a dozen, laying on that. And the babies playing while the preacher's preaching.
Church,
but that was country people. They come in wagons, two horse wagons.
How long is it? What's the last you've seen that?
Well, it's been a many days since I've seen that.
Yes. Well, what's wrong with it? I don't see anything wrong with it. The preacher can talk over it.
And I'm gonna tell you, when children went to preaching, you didn't hear the mouths either. We had a cousin there that she just put a hand and roll that child's mouth and wear him out. Right. She didn't come outside. She had a little switchback like that, and I mean she turned him loose. He heard.
He's a doc.
People just don't have the love for the Most High God now that they used to have.
They don't know about it.
Well, the Bible said they would wax cold.
They didn't know.
They were ignorant then, Marguerite, but still they live better than the common people are living today.
You think they did?
Yes, sir. Oh, I know they did. Say, your grandfather and mine, and all the people, they live better lives than the majority of people are living today.
When your grandfather lived in temptations today.
How do you figure that?
Well, there wasn't as much meanness there as murdering and stealing and all such going on in them days as it is now.
They didn't have much.
No, so they didn't have much, but they was happy with it.
What they had.
Made the best of what they had.
Yeah.
Well, then he just took over, you see. Prior to that time,
even families don't love each other like they used to.
Oh.
And I've seen the time that even people and all like that, when my daddy died, every store in town, the men left their stores and they was up there in a few minutes. House you couldn't move from. And my one man was killing hogs and he washed his hands right to the house he come. But you don't see that now. They just don't do it. They just don't have love for each other they used to have.
They don't have time. Used to have plenty of time to do everything they want to do, but they don't have time.
I believe that's one of the big things.
I do too. The days are the same length.
Well, sir, that turned out to have some beautiful patches. That one little patch where Claire Spears tells how she started studying with her son, Guy Lewis, when he came home from World War II, with not long to live, is right touching. and it brings them all in, and they had the study, and then they had a big dinner. That's the end of this nice little visit. After the study on Tuesday, the 26th of August, 69, this round 500, channel 2 over, round 500, channel 2 over, round 500, channel 2 over, the end of the visit, after the study session at Ms. Patterson's on Tuesday, the 26th of August, 69. Now this is channel 2 over. Around 500. I'm going backward now in time, the dates. This is a study section on session on a Tuesday, the 12th of August, 69. Tuesday, the 12th of August, 69, on prayer. And there's a little session after the study session. On Tuesday, the 12th of August, 69, this is a session in which Leola presses Phil. Phil comes over with me after that. And he has some right straightforward words about all this business. But that's not on tape.
In order for our prayers to be heard, one has to learn God's purpose for the human family, what His will is, and then pray according to that. And
Now that sounds like a... That sounds so easy, but it's really a little bigger order, isn't it?
That's right. Because so many people don't stop to consider what Jehovah's purpose for the human family is.
Yeah.
What is the first importance
that we give and show that God's names and purposes should be our very first concern?
Who has another?
We express our thoughts to God, but we can be confident that God knows our needs and will understand our simple prayer. Makes no difference how simple they are, He understands them. And He understands the prayers that are in our heart.
If it comes from our heart and is honest and sincere. And then we see so many people feel that they have to assume a certain position in the praying. But nowhere in the Bible does it state that we have to do that. Some of those faithful people of old would prostrate themselves on their face on the ground. Others would stand and they might raise their hands. And some would kneel. And so there is no special. There is a thought there on the private prayer going into your room. Sometimes with those back centuries ago with those Jewish families, there was the one room where the family lived. And then they had their, which would be like their sleeping room. Well, if one had perhaps a problem or some weighty matter and they wanted to pray about, it wouldn't be easy and convenient to be in with the family. And so they would go to their, as Jesus said, go into their private room and close their door behind them, or go privately where they would be undisturbed and pray to Jehovah.
Well, would the person, individual, have any particular preference where he might do better? He might think better.
He might.
There are times when you can think better too.
And in meditation, you know, the Bible speaks of prayer to God and reading His Word and meditating. Well, if you're going to meditate, you don't want to be out in the midst of traffic, do you?
Well, I wouldn't.
No.
But now, you see, some people don't think too well privately. They think better when there are other people around.
Well, if they can concentrate, but the Bible doesn't show that people can do that. And that's the one thing that has been brought out through the publications. Today, people must have a TV going full blast from the time they get out of bed in the morning until they go to bed at night.
Huh? Not mine.
Don't you? Mine either. And if they're going to walk along the street, what do they have? They have a little portable one,
yeah,
and it's going.
The radio.
And they just want something, a noise of some kind going all the time. Well, they can't meditate on God's Word.
Don't you have noise?
I don't have very much noise. I'm home alone all day long from 7 o'clock to 6 in the afternoon. I turn on my TV at 12 o'clock and it runs to 3, and that's the only time it's turned on until after supper. We look at it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm
not fussing every time.
I have plenty of time to meditate.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I have plenty of time to read, study my lesson, and I really do that thing, Hilda. Sometimes I know it all by heart.
And you can think better without noise.
Yes, the boss. I don't believe in
other things that tend to distract you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's done with me anyway.
Has any of y'all ever had a prayer answered by the time you ask it?
Yes, it seems as though that it could be almost as instantaneous as that.
I had that to happen to me.
And
right after I went to study, and I knew it was the truth. And I said a prayer, a short one, and it was answered right now. And so that I knew then that I was on the right track.
Well, now that, you see, was a very important point.
What the prayer was, I never seen such a storm in my life that had come up. And Phil was at the barn down there trying to ditch the water. He'd come in hungry, ditch the water around the barn to keep it from going through the barn. And I wanted to fix this leak right quick. And I said a little prayer. The lights was off. And the lights, just as quick as I said amen, they was on that quick. I fixed that supper, and right now, and whenever we ate the last mouthful, the lights went off and was off my yell the rest of the night.
Well, Leora, I do believe from the bottom of my heart that Guy Lewis lived longer than he would have lived without prayers, because we prayed so hard for him to live long enough to learn as much truth as possible before he had to die. We knew he had to die. He knew he had to die. And he studied, and we prayed, and we begged. I've seen little Patty on the news many times begging God to let him live long enough to learn some more of the truth. And we see a lot that he'll be resurrected and come back.
Oh, he will be. He's a fine boy.
Because those that are earnestly seeking Jehovah, and he knows, and if something happens that they die, then he'll bring them back, because he's a just, righteous God.
Well, now that would be a little different from being in the sick room with people and, you know, just being with them and living with them. That wouldn't be praying. That'd be different, but it'd have the same result in a way.
Yes.
But I've always felt like that. I hadn't been studying too long.
Well, he was 26 years old when he died.
26.
He had married and had a little boy 2 years old when he died.
I don't see much good public praying. I don't see anyone who's sanctimonious.
But,
no.
Nothing to say, do you?
No, because they're getting out of that some, but still, you hear it some. But the religious leaders today are getting where they don't believe the Bible. So much of it they claim is a myth.
Yeah.
And a fake.
Yes.
And so then they wonder why people have stopped going to church.
Yeah.
Leora used to, when I was a child, you could hear the homeless people jumping up and down and screaming and hollering and praying and doing everything else for miles. You really could.
Well, I sometimes wish the prayers, public prayers, were just a little bit more.
You felt a little better towards them?
Sanctimonious, or what do you want to call them?
Well,
maybe
see,
that's not the word.
The public prayers in these days and times, we understand what composes false religion. And so, where the public prayers are made, it's for those false religionists, and it's done for a show to the people.
Uh-huh.
Jesus spoke about, you know, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, when he was on earth there, when he was speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of his day. It says that Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the seat of Moses. Therefore, all the things they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say, but do not perform. They bind heavy loads and put them upon the shoulders of men, but they themselves are not willing to budge them with their finger. All the works they do to be viewed by men. For they broaden the scripture laden, scripture containing cases that they wear as safeguards and enlarge the fringe of their garments. They like the most prominent place at evening meals and the front seats in the synagogue, and the greeting in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi by men. But you do not you be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, whereas all of you are brothers. Moreover, do not call anyone your father on earth, for one is your father, the heavenly one. Neither be called leaders, for your leader is one, the Christ. But the greatest one among you must be your minister. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." And now you notice, during some of their big political meetings that they had, and when Nixon was inaugurated and things, there was one meeting there by Billy Graham, was very prominent. And let's see, they had a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and I can't remember whether they had a different Protestant besides Billy Graham, and each one got up and prayed. Now, do you think God heard the prayers that they prayed for the ones involved in that meeting?
No, Robert didn't hear any of them.
He didn't hear
any of them. He didn't hear any of them because they were being prayed to the people, not to Jehovah.
Well, don't you think they need a lot of it?
They don't need those kinds of prayers. No, they don't need those kinds of prayers.
Why not need them kinds of prayers?
But what they need is the truth of God's word, you see, and they refuse to accept it.
That's all they get. Is right, but
yes,
I still say that somebody needs to pray for them, whether we're good or not.
Well, now, Phil, just stop and think a minute. Supposing you had, let's say you had a tree out here that was practically all rotten, and you said, "Well, I've just got to dig that thing up," and your neighbors are coming and say, "Don't you dig that thing up. Now, you just leave that there. Don't you destroy that." Well, you say, "Well, it's no good." That don't make any difference. Don't you destroy it. You keep it going. Now, this wicked system of things that Satan has built up, God is going to destroy because it's completely against him. And so no prayers that anybody could offer to God to save that would he hear, because he's not going to save it. He's going to tear it out of the way. It's rotten. It's filthy. It's diseased. It's bug-ridden. And he's not going to try to clean it up to do his purposes. He has a new tree that he's going to bring forth, and that's the kingdom under Christ Jesus.
I didn't say they should have prayed for. Prayed for was right. If it was any right way to pray, I say they needed it.
Yes, it was, yes. But you see, the point I wanted to bring up was that there is no right way to pray for this system of things and our leaders and the things that they do, because this system is going out in just a little while, because it's corrupt. And just as Jesus said there, it puts heavy burdens upon the people and won't do anything to ease those burdens. Now,
one part of the public prayer, you know, the general prayer in all the churches is a prayer for the good of the nation.
That's right.
Now, what is God going to destroy in Armageddon? He's going to destroy the nations. And you get that in the 16th chapter of Revelation. See, it says here, and I saw three unclean expired expressions that looked like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the wild beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are, in fact, expressions inspired by demons and perform signs, and they go forth to the kings of the entire inhabited earth, and the kings of the rulers, and they have to have nations to be kings, don't they? To gather them together to the war of the great day of God Almighty. And they gathered them together to the place that is called in Hebrew Armageddon. And that's what God's going to destroy. So if we were to spend our time praying to God, now preserve this nation. Now that's what they're talking about now. America is the richest nation in the earth. It's dominating the entire inhabited earth. And Nixon and his aides have been out around to different countries assuming that position before them. Well, now in the 17th chapter of Revelation, John had that vision showing where the seventh world power would go down, and that is the United States.
Well, on this these state occasions, and what would they pray for? They can't pray for the downfall of the state.
Well, no, that's all they know is to pray for God to, just like it's said here, that in, just so rather than deciding what we want to have ado and praying to God about it, is it not proper to find out first what God wants of us? They haven't even looked to see what God wants of them, but they've decided what they want to do. And so they're praying to God to bring about what we want to do. We're going to bring peace on this earth, a lasting peace. Okay. And now you bless our efforts. Mm-hmm. For God's purpose is that lasting peace is going to be through the kingdom of heaven with Christ Jesus as king. So how could God bless their efforts? Just like way back in the 1930s, Dr. Cadman, he was a very prominent minister in New York.
Yes.
And Judge Rutherford then was playing these lectures and records, and then he'd have a question and answer period. And so Cadman tried to copycat that. And I happened to be listening one day, and after he threw, someone asked the question, do you think that Christ is here yet? And he says, oh my, no. He says, we are not ready for him to come yet. He says, we're going to clean up this earth and bring peace. Then we'll invite him to come down and see what we have done. Mm-hmm. Well, now, isn't that just what they're talking about now?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what Jehovah says will happen. Read that ninth verse.
Okay. You read it.
You read it.
Where is it,
Mabel? Oh, Psalms.
You will break them with an iron scepter.
That's the first
Psalm. As though a potter's vessel, you will dash them to pieces.
That's what will happen to the nations.
To the nations.
Mm-hmm. That's the second chapter of Psalms, ninth verse.
No, I'm going to add one or two to that to supplement that. In fact, if you don't mind, the whole thing before that says, why have the nations been in tumult, and the national groups themselves keep muttering an empty thing? The kings of earth take their stand, and high officials themselves have massed together as one against Jehovah and against his anointed one, saying, let us tear their bands apart and cast their cords away from us. And President Nixon, someone asked him what he was going to do about Jehovah's Witnesses, and he said he'd take care of them in his due time.
Well,
so you can see how he feels about Jehovah's Witnesses who are announcing God's kingdom. So the very one sitting in the heavens will laugh. Jehovah himself will hold them in derision. At that time he will speak to them in his anger, and in his hot displeasure he will disturb them, saying, I, even I, have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. let me refer the decree of Jehovah. He has said to me, now this is like Christ speaking, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me that I may give nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your own possession. And then, as Mabel read there, you will break them with an iron scepter, as though a potter's vessel, you will dash them to pieces, because they refuse to accept God's kingdom. So you can see, anyone that gives their support to these governments, their entire support and allegiance, is standing in the same way and condition.
They are, in fact, part of the government.
They are, because a government is made up of peoples under it.
And all the Satan's work that's performed, they in effect, it's kind of hard to say that, but I don't know if I can say that or not. But a lot of the work that goes on is really not good work.
It's
not good.
It isn't.
And they really are a part of that
They are the, as it speaks of here, and that, I think that's the 17th chapter of Revelation, about the harlot. And the waters are the peoples, the masses of peoples that hold this thing up. These different governments. Now, if everybody in the earth, if they wanted to, has the privilege of becoming one of Jehovah's Witnesses, there couldn't be any wars then, because they wouldn't fight and kill. And supposing everyone did become Jehovah's Witnesses, what would happen to these governments? There wouldn't be any, would there?
Yeah.
Well, Jehovah's going to destroy the wickedness and people that support wickedness, that like it. And so where will the governments be when that takes place? There won't be any.
And in New York, if they're one of the assemblies in 53 that I was there, but in the paper, the policeman said that if everybody was Jehovah's Witness that came to New York, they wouldn't need a policeman.
We do thank you for this very interesting lesson that we have had today, and to learn how very, very important it is that we take part in prayer. That is the way that we talk to you. And then as we read your word, the Bible, that is the way you talk to us. And so, dear Father, we pray that we may study your word more diligently than ever, and pray more seriously than ever before, that we may learn your will at this time and what you require of us, and then, as Satan does bring pressure upon us, that we will be able to stand and not compromise any more than your beloved Son did. And so, dear Father, we know and realize and appreciate it. It is a wonderful privilege to be used by you to proclaim your name and your kingdom throughout the earth. And so we do ask, dear Father, that you be mindful of our weaknesses and forgive us and give us strength to carry on until you say it is finished. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now I continue.